You'll now be aware, no doubt, the BBC's monitoring service, which is based in Caversham, is moving. The stately home from which BBC Radio Berkshire broadcasts is going to be sold. We will also move to a new location in the Reading area. But I thought it'd be a good opportunity to explore a little bit more about BBC Monitoring's links with Caversham Park. And with me in the studio is one of my colleagues from BBC Monitoring, Chris Greenway, who's been working here for the last 35 years. Talk to me about what the BBC Monitoring Service does, first of all, because for those outside of the BBC, they may have heard the term but not be familiar with the work.
Well, we do exactly what you will probably do this evening at home. We watch the television, we listen to the radio, we look at some news websites, but whereas you will probably maybe looking at one or two of those, we're doing it on an industrial scale. So on any particular day, and we are a 365-day-a-year operation, we will be covering dozens of stories. We'll be looking at hundreds of different sources to do that. And by a source, I mean a TV channel, a radio network, a newspaper, a news website, a politician's Twitter feed, an opposition activist's Facebook page. And we're doing that globally. Mm-hmm. So we're collecting the news, as we sometimes call it, we're armchair correspondents. We're not going out into the field or the street with our own microphones and cameras. We're sitting and doing it by watching the TV, foreign TV and foreign radio, and now, of course, websites and other online sources from around the world.
And the point of doing that is to what feed into other BBC outlets, basically?
Absolutely. Everything that we do goes to the BBC and to various other customers as well. We have a growing number of commercial customers, for example. So today, when we've got the Chilcot report being announced, we're looking at how that's been covered in the Middle East, for example, what Iraqi TV channels will be saying about it. I've just come from looking at some Pan-Arab TV channels, and some of them were carrying Sir John Chilcot's statement live with their translation, and other TV channels around the world will be no doubt covering it in their evening bulletins tonight. And we want to tell people how that story, which is very much a UK story but also a global story, how that's being covered in the media around the world.
And there must be so many different languages in BBC Monitoring as well.
There are. We work in dozens of different languages, and in fact we have the capability of probably 100 or more, because many of our staff, although they mainly work in one or two particular languages, you often find that they've got a third or a fourth or a fifth that they can tack on. So we really have got tremendous capability to sort of dig and look at how sources are covering things, not just from how you might, for example, in English, just type in something into Google, but really to look at how people in the countries concerned are what they're seeing on their local news, for example.
So how did the BBC's monitoring service end up in a stately home on the outskirts of Reading?
Well, monitoring actually started at the beginning of the Second World War. It was set up specifically at the request of the British government at the time, but very much run by the BBC. And our original home was in a stately home in Worcestershire, Wood Norton, near Evesham. Mm-hmm. We moved here to Caversham Park in 1943. It had before then been a boarding school, the Oratory School, and before the First World War it had been a private residence. The government took it over at the beginning of the Second World War, and so was able to offer it to the BBC to put its monitoring service. We initially had what we used to call our listening room, which was where we had rows and rows of monitors listening to foreign radio broadcasts. They're sitting in what used to be very much the main reception room of the stately home. It's now our staff canteen. Over the years, the building has been refurbished and redeveloped, and so now all our operations take place in a purpose-built annex to the building. But the main central mansion, which was built in the 1850s, still very much used for other purposes.
Those early days of BBC monitoring must have looked completely different to now, because, of course, getting access to the world's media and finding out what was going on in far-flung parts of the world would have been much more difficult than it is now.
Yes, very often it was. No, absolutely no internet, of course. And we, of course, were monitoring stations that were certainly not interested in cooperating in any way with us, for example, from Germany and Italy. And so all the broadcasts would have been received on shortwave or medium wave or long wave. There were aerials in the field, now taken down some time ago, in front of the house here in Caversham Park. And then separately in a place called Crowsley Park, which is about 3 miles to the north of here in South Oxfordshire, we had a large aerial farm there, which could gather these signals from Europe and indeed beyond. We've now, of course, moved into an era where we've got the internet. Satellite came in the 1980s. We started monitoring Soviet television as it then was, and that eased some of the problems. Though, in some ways, some things have got more difficult because now, of course, many broadcasts are locally on FM and we're not on the spot to monitor them. Whereas in the past, shortwave, of course, can travel vast distances. And so the signals came to us.
It must be fascinating to work in that sort of setting and learning in some cases about news stories first as they break. I mean, in your 35 years, what are some of the moments that stand out for you, some of the most significant moments that you remember working?
Couple of things I guess I could remember. I was very much involved in 1991 in the coverage of the civil war in Somalia when the president was ousted by rebels, and the news of that literally did break on the local radio station in Mogadishu, the Somali capital, which was the only station operating in the capital, and we monitored that live. The rebels actually taking over the radio station from the government. We've subsequently covered events in the Yugoslav civil wars, after 9/11 in the Middle East. The fall of Gaddafi was another really dramatic one that stands out. There was a proliferation of TV and radio stations in Libya operating in 2011, including a number of the rebels had captured the government radios in a number of cities, and we were monitoring them. And I well remember then we monitored the day when Gaddafi was captured and killed, and that was being shown on local TV.
Wow, really interesting insight. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing it with us. That's Chris Greenway from BBC Monitoring, based for now here at Caversham Park. It's coming up to 10 minutes to 1. Now, the long-awaited Chilcot report into the Iran